We've got to part number four of our contagious series, and you guys catching it yet? Catching the love and the joy and the peace and the patience that comes with a life that's filled with Jesus Christ. Well, today we're continuing this series, and on Monday night, it was late, it was about 12 midnight. I'm normally a go-to-bed early kind of guy, and I woke up with my phone going, and I didn't have a chance to answer it before it stopped ringing, but I noticed it was a call from my mother, who was in England. So I called her back and was able to talk to her. And she was calling because she was telling me that my grandfather had just passed away. And actually, in between services last week, she had FaceTimed me because he wasn't doing well. They called the family in, and I FaceTimed with him, kind of just to say my goodbyes to him. And we thought he wasn't going to last a night, but he did. And but then the next night, he went. And so that was like 12 midnight, and I put my head back on the pillow. And I just couldn't fall asleep. I just started thinking about my grandfather, reflecting on his life and who he was. You see, my grandfather was an incredible man. And I've told many stories from here in this room about his life and about some of the things that that he has taught me and how he has shaped me in his life. And if you'd looked at like my Facebook timeline this week and our family's members, their Facebook timeline, you would have seen like hundreds of comments of people all over the world telling about the impact my grandfather had made on their lives. You see, I am standing on my grandfather's shoulders because I look back, I have this incredible legacy. He left this incredible legacy that we're now living out. And we have a family who are all serving the Lord because of my grandfather's faithfulness. And it got me to thinking because I am fortunate that I can look back and have this legacy that I can follow. But for many of you, you are the first people in your family who have come to faith in Jesus Christ. You are the first people who are getting serious about your faith, and you don't have a legacy to look back on. But the great thing is you are the ones that can create that kind of legacy. So my grandfather was 95, and I know when we have his funeral in a couple of weeks that it's going to be filled with celebration and people talking about how wonderful his life and the legacy he left. And just imagine when you're 95 years old and there comes time for your funeral or your memorial service, and your kids and your grandkids, they can be talking about you in the same light because of the legacy that you left for them. But as I was thinking about my grandfather, he did many great things in his life, and many people said wonderful things. He was a pastor of a multicultural church in the city of Birmingham, England, and this was in the 50s and the 60s, where there was these real there was tension in race relations. But yet, he had this church that had every color, every nationality, every language that you could think about. It was amazing that time that what the church could bring together. And as I was as I started to think about his life, I started to go into more of the personal things. And I was lying in bed at 1, at 2 in the morning, and I started to realize and remember just how kind my grandfather was. So the kind of guy he was just a kind of guy. He always made a room so much brighter because he walked in. He always had good things to say about people. It was very rare that I heard a critical comment about it. The only critical comments he ever said about people were actually church folk who should have known better. That was the only time. Otherwise, he had kind words to say about everybody. When he retired, he came to and started attending our church, and you would see him. My grandmother had passed away, and he was a bit of a ladies' man, and so he would walk around the church before church, and he'd be talking to all the old ladies, and he would get a bag out of candy and he would give them to the ladies. I'm like, Granddad, stop it, you're in church. But you know, he'd be like, no, the ladies love the candy. And he was just this really nice guy, and always had great things to say to him. But one of the things that stood out when we were young, they lived in a different part of the country at the time, and we would go visit, and he would always take us to McDonald's. My parents never took us to McDonald's, and that was back then when it was a treat to go to McDonald's, and he would always take us because he always wanted us to make sure that when we left, you know, we didn't want to leave because he wanted us to make sure we had the greatest time. But one of my biggest memories of him is this. He would wake up early in the morning, every morning, before anybody else. He would get up and he would go and make breakfast. He would let my grandmother sleep in bed, and then he would go and make breakfast, and he would take it to her breakfast in bed. Nobody else watching. Nobody else not doing it because, you know, he's a pastor or, you know, he's trying to be an example to other people. No, because that was the kind of man he was. And he shaped me and I've learned a lot from it. I still have not made breakfast in bed for my wife for a long time. So God is still working within me. But this was the kind of guy that he was. Always wanted to do things for other people. As I grew older, as I came home from school and then when I came back from college and went to work, I come home from work, and there would be my grandfather in our yard planting flowers, mowing the grass, taking care of the yard, because he wanted to make sure that we had the best yard on the street, and we did have the best yard on the street. He had his own yard to take care of, but after doing that, he would come and take care of ours because he was that kind of guy, kind-natured. In all that he did, he had good words to say about people, and this is what I know about my grandfather. If there was ever a man who was contagious with the spirit of Jesus, it was my grandfather. Everywhere he went, there was joy, there was happiness, there was laughter. People got closer to Jesus, the room got brighter. His joy was infectious, but it was his kind heart and his good intentions that stood out to me. And when I think about him, that's what I think. And I wonder with us in our lives, when people think about us, maybe it gets time for our funeral, our memorial service, I wonder if people will look back on us and say the same. They were kind and they had good intentions. They were kind and they did things for other people. See, we've been going through the book of Galatians chapter 5, and we've been centering on verses 22 to 23 throughout this series, and it says this, that the fruit of the Spirit, of those who have the Spirit of Jesus living within them, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, against which there is no law against these things. And so we've already dealt with love, joy, peace, and patience. And today, I want us to center on the fruits of kindness and goodness. See, I believe it is impossible to do honest good without a kind heart. And this is what I mean by honest good. Doing good just because you want to do good, not because you have a wrong motive. Not because you're trying to get something out of it. Honest good. I believe it's impossible to do honest good if you don't have a kind heart. For goodness without kindness is often done with the wrong motives. See, when your heart is filled with kindness, then goodness towards others becomes the overflow of that kindness. Now, these two fruits, we've got the fruit of kindness and the fruit of goodness. And what Galatians says is that when we have the Spirit of Jesus living within us, then the Spirit organically produces fruits in our lives that others can see. And so the fruit of kindness deals more about what's going on in our hearts. It implies a sweetness in our speech, saying sweet words, not bitter words. It implies about our manners concerning other people, being kind towards others. Now, goodness is very similar, even though it's different, it's very similar. It's in the same family. It's like the cousin of kindness. But goodness means to wear a benevolent disposition. And what I mean by that is that you are always looking to benefit others, so that others can benefit from being with you and around you. Not taking from others, but you're wanting to give goodness unto others. Now, I've heard many times it be said, it doesn't cost anything to be kind. Right? You've probably heard it. It doesn't cost anything to be kind. But this is what I know. The further that our nation runs away from the values and the life of Jesus, the less kind we are becoming. Now, this is what I know. in politics, in Hollywood, in just life in general, on Facebook, in the press, people are becoming less and less kind. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but you just have to switch the news on for a moment. You just have to read a newspaper for a moment, and you'll find there's not many kind words people are saying for each other. Tonight is the Oscars, and they're celebrating in Hollywood, but I guarantee there's not that many kind words they're going to say about people outside of their little clique in Hollywood. See, while many people think that it is our right as Americans to say what we want, right? We say that. It's our right. I can say what we want. We have free speech. Say what we want. The reality is this, is that we're actually often just showing the world what is really in our hearts. And many people just don't have kind hearts. They don't have kindness in their hearts. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 2. Verses 43 to 45. Jesus said, a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are never picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. Now, then Jesus said this. What you say flows from what is in your heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Now, if there was anything that was so challenging to me that Jesus said, it's this. Because it shows me often that what is in my heart isn't always good because of the things I often find myself saying. See, I'll be honest, I don't even like what Jesus says here. And this is why. Because I know what's in my heart. And you know what's in your heart. You know the good things are in your heart. You know the bad things are in your heart. You know that when you don't like somebody, it's in your heart, but often you don't really say it, right? So you know that if someone annoys you or if someone talks too much or, you know, if someone just like smells and like you're just not going to like say it, but it's in your heart. And this is why I don't like what Jesus said, because I want to keep it in my heart. I don't want anybody else to know what's going on in here. But what Jesus is saying, he says, what comes from your mouth is an overflow of what's in your heart. Meaning that my mouth is exposing what's in my heart. My mouth is revealing to me daily that my heart is not always full of kindness. And I don't like that kind of exposure. But yet, that's the reality. And even though we don't know what's in each other's hearts, I don't know what's in your heart. I'm not a mind reader. I don't know what's in your mind. But your mouth is giving you a glimpse and giving others a glimpse of what is really going on. So if someone is jealous, if someone has hatred, if someone thinks everything is just about them, if someone doesn't like somebody else, if someone has a lack of self-control, if someone is an angry person, then what the Bible is telling us is that our mouth will eventually reveal what's going on in our hearts. See, it doesn't cost anything to be kind. But if kindness is not in your heart, then it's very hard to say kind things. Now, just contemplate this for a moment. In your conversations that you've had this week, that you've had with other people, maybe conversations that you've overheard, how many times has that conversation been about kind things as opposed to unkind things? How many times have you said things that maybe you shouldn't have said over what you should have said? See, this really challenged me, and I knew at the beginning of the week that I'd be talking about this, and so I really like put myself as an example to the test, and I really tried to say nice things about people. And I'll be honest, it was hard. It was hard. There was one person this week that annoyed me like crazy. I just wanted to like strangle their neck, and they weren't here at church, so it's okay, right? And I really wanted to say bad things about them, but But I started realizing, no, I need to start showing the fruits of Jesus within me. And it was hard. See, it's hard to always say kind things. But this is what I know. Jesus was a kind man. Jesus was a man of love. We said in week one that Jesus was the greatest example of love. And this is how I know that Jesus was a man of love. One of the ways was this. Because Jesus always thought the best of people and not the worst of people. And this is kindness in a nutshell. Thinking the best and not the worst. See, the kind heart thinks good thoughts before critical thoughts. The kind heart speaks encouraging words over disencouraging words. The kind heart gravitates towards a person's good light instead of inspecting their dark side. And so often we do that in life. We see somebody and we're trying to nitpick the faults in them instead of looking at their good light. Now, let me tell you, kindness does not mean that there's no place for criticism. Kindness doesn't mean that you don't often have to give people a reality check. Kindness doesn't mean that you don't speak truth to people because being kind is often speaking truth to people. But if you have kindness within your heart, then what you say and do will always be to lift people up, build them up instead of to tear them down. Romans chapter 15 and verses 1 to 3 tells us this. We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things, these things in life. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself, as the scriptures say. The insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me. So this is what Paul is saying, that we should help others and build others up and encourage others and lift them up. See, when talking about people or talking to people, if what you are saying isn't encouraging people to become better and build them up, then we probably shouldn't be saying them in the first place. Now, at the beginning of the year, we had a big leadership meeting here at Generation about what we're going to do this year. And I shared about some of the things that I value and I want to see here at Generation Church. And one of the things I said this, I said, I value people who talk to people, not about people. Value people who talk to people and not about people. Because when you talk about people, it centers on gossip. When you talk to people, then relationships actually get stronger and you build up and you deal with issues if you have issues. And so this is a value I have, but it's so hard to keep. Even later that night after I said it, I was talking about something and one of the guys turned to me and said, Alex, remember to talk about two people, not about people. I'm like, yeah, you're right. See, it's really hard at times not to talk about people. But this is the problem. When we start to talk about people instead of talking to people, we start to gossip. We start to slander. We start to talk in a negative light about people. And just like, what's the difference between gossip and other things? Because gossip isn't always just talking about somebody else. This week I've talked about my grandfather a lot to my wife. And we're not gossiping. We're just talking in a good light. But this is what I think, and I could be wrong, but this is what I think is a good way to look at gossip. If you are talking about somebody and you wouldn't want them in the room when you're talking about them, then it's probably gossip. So if you're talking about people and you don't really want them to hear what you're saying, then that's probably gossip. And let me tell you, the Bible talks about gossip as much as it talks about murder. And we know murder's wrong, right? But it talks in a bad light about gossip, how destructive gossip can be. See, gossip and slander and unkind words have the ability to kill someone's spirit and even kill someone's faith. And while murder will kill somebody's physical body, the unkind words and gossip and slander will often kill someone's spirit and kill someone's faith. Now, I may be a little over the top when I say this, so take this not literally, but ask yourself, when I'm talking to somebody or I'm talking about somebody, am I murdering or killing their spirit? Has this got the potential to kill their faith? Because that's how powerful your words are. See, if Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 to 32 tells us this. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. See, did you know that your mouth is the gateway to your heart? And just as what is in your heart comes out of your mouth, if you want to change your heart, then you need to start changing some of the things that you are saying. See, if you want to forgive somebody, you can't wait until your heart feels that you're ready to forgive, because you'll never be able to forgive. The way you first start to forgive somebody is by saying the words, I forgive you, even when the pain is so hard in your heart. If you want to look on someone, think of someone's best before someone's worst, even if you can't even see their best and their worst is all about them, it starts with talking about their best. If you want to encourage someone and build someone up instead of crush them, then it starts first with your words. And then what happens is your words start to translate into your heart. The incredible thing about our mouth is that it starts to lead our hearts, which then leads to our actions. The book of James tells us this, that the tongue is a powerful thing. He said the tongue is like this. It's like a rudder on a ship. A ship could be so big and the rudder so small, but the rudder is the thing that directs where the ship is going. And it says, that's just like your tongue. Your tongue directs where your life is going. James also says this, that your tongue is like a bit in a horse's mouth. It's small, but the bit in the horse's mouth is able to you're able to guide and direct the horse where you want the horse to go, all because of the little bit in its mouth. And that is what James says our tongue is. Our tongue is a powerful thing. And when kindness flows from our mouths, it automatically progresses to the goodness of our actions. See, when you think about Jesus, it's impossible to think about Jesus and the life of Jesus and the story of Jesus without the good he did wherever he went. See, wherever Jesus went, people were always better off for meeting Jesus. Jesus breathed life and goodness into the people that he met. The fruit of goodness seeped through Jesus. The Psalms are full of expressions about the goodness of God. The Bible tells us that God is good and the salvation of God is good. The grace of God is good. The mercy of God is good. The love of God is good. See, God overflows with goodness. Galatians chapter 6 and verses 9 to 10 says this. So let us not get tired of doing what is good. At the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, we have the opportunity, so we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. We should do good to everybody. See, if you are a follower of Jesus, goodness should be your MO. If we are not known as people who do good, then we are not known as people of Jesus. For Jesus did good. Now, the problem with doing good is this. It can often get tiring. See, doing good for others often drains you because you're giving and giving and giving and you don't replenish yourself. So you get burnt out and you get drained. But this is what I know. Goodness is not natural for us. See, goodness is about giving to others, and so often we want to think about ourselves first. But goodness is not an act. Goodness is not a duty. Goodness is not a command. But goodness is this. Goodness is a fruit that comes out of a heart that is filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't do goodness or good things because we're just Christians and that's what Christians do. We do good because we have the Spirit of Jesus living within us. And as a result, the overflow of the Spirit of Jesus is that goodness flows out of us. See, goodness in of itself has the ability to change situations. You see goodness all over the world. You know, people in Hollywood, they do good things. They adopt like gazillions of children in all other, you know, countries. They'll build wells and they'll put water in countries in Africa, in villages that didn't have water. They'll do good. And good deeds, they change situations. But goodness that flows out of the Spirit-filled life does more than change situations. It changes lives. This is what I know. Authentic goodness is always more powerful than manufactured goodness. I'll say that again. Authentic goodness is always more powerful than manufactured goodness. And this is what I mean. Goodness that flows out of a life that is filled with Jesus will always have more impact than just doing good deeds for good deeds' sake. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 13 tells us this. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. This is what Paul is saying to the Romans. He is saying this: prefer one another over yourself. When you do that, you start to do good things towards others, especially those who are in the community of faith, meaning people in the church. Do good towards each other. Practice hospitality. Become welcoming. That is the Spirit of Jesus. And that becomes contagious to others. See, I can't stand phony people. Don't like phony people at all. People who, you know, they just give you the heebie-jeebies when you get them, right? When you see them. They just make you feel like slimy and nasty. Because they're saying one thing, but you know in their heart they're really thinking another thing. That they're trying to be somebody that they're not. And that is not the way of Jesus. The way of Jesus is authenticity. The way of Jesus is to be yourself and to show what's in your heart. And so the closer that you get to Jesus, the more kindness and goodness flows out of your heart. See, when the fruit of goodness becomes evident in our lives, it becomes very contagious to those around us. They start to say good things about us. They start to look at us in a good light. But it starts with us preferring one another. See, my grandfather was a kind, good man. And he wasn't kind and did good things towards others because he was hoping others would do things back for him. The reason he was kind, the reason he did good things for others, was because the Spirit of Jesus was alive and active in him. And the overflow of Jesus was that he started to think the best of people and not the worst. He started to say things that would build people up instead of crush them. And guess what happens when kindness flows from our lips and goodness comes out of our hands? Did you know that marriages are strengthened? This week in your marriage, what if you chose every day to start saying kind things to your spouse? As you wake up, find something kind to say. When you put your head to bed, find something kind to say. For marriages are strengthened. Families are held together. When kindness flows from our lips and goodness from our hands, churches are transformed and communities experience incredible life change. And all of this because we just allow the Holy Spirit to have access to our hearts. All this because we choose to encourage. All this because we've decided that our mouths should be streams of nice words instead of bitter words. All this because we choose to genuinely love people. Practice hospitality and start to think of others more than ourselves. Wow, the impact that we can make just because we choose to say nice things, kind things. Build people up instead of crush them. That's what happens when the life of Jesus is within us and we become contagious to all. Let's bow our heads in prayer.